just had one more day.
It's been, you know, the storm that came through last year and done all the roof damage and all. Well, my brother came to fix all that today, so that's a year later after. But it's just been one of them days. I kept telling him, I said, I need to go. I need to get ready for church. All right. I think we're in Judges. Judges chapter 16. And we're going to read verses 19 through verse number 23. And I've been studying, reading along, but I am a routine person. I have each day has a certain block for a certain thing, and that's how I operate. And so all my day-to-day got messed up, but to actually make notes is Wednesday. So I had a little time the Lord gave me, and I was thankful for that. Judges chapter 16. Let's read verses 19 down through verse number 23. This is the 32nd lesson we've had in the book of Judges. And I have really enjoyed studying these judges. And Samson, he's the last judge in the book of Judges. We're winding up what we find here. But in verse number 19, the Bible said, "And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, 'The Philistines be upon thee, Samson.' And he awoke out of his sleep and said, 'I will go out as at other times before and shake myself.' And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, 'Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand.'" And that's as far as we'll go tonight. I thought about trying to go a little farther, but I want to take some time tonight and just deal with a few thoughts the Lord has put on my mind for this week. But last week we studied and we saw, we called it this, the sad, sad story of Samson and Delilah. And it was a sad story, or it is a sad story. I've been mentioned a couple of times since then, talking about Samson. And, you know, a lot of times you might think, well, he was a great guy, and he was in some aspects, but in others he wasn't. He was very self-oriented, and a lot of his actions were just to better and benefit himself. But we finished up last week in verse number 21, where the Bible said the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. And we saw the once great champion of Israel, and that Samson, and we talked about some things that he had lost because of his sin. And we said he lost his distinction in verse number 19. His hair was shaved off, and that was what set him apart and sort of set him aside from the crowd as being a Nazarite unto God. He lost his distinction. He lost his strength. In verse number 19, the Bible said his strength went from him. He lost his defense, his distinction. He lost his discernment. In verse number 20, the Bible said that he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He didn't even know. He said, "Well, I'll just go out like I've done every other time, and I'll just shake myself, and I'll just clobber these Philistines." Looked like they would learn their lesson after a while. And he didn't even know that the Lord had departed from him. And sin does that. Sin causes us to lose our discernment. And he lost his dignity in verse number 21. The Bible said that he did grind in the prison house. He was blind. He was weak. He was doing the work of a slave or the work of a beast, and he lost all his dignity. The great Samson, who no doubt children had heard stories about his feats against the Philistines and how he had killed a lion and all of these things, and now he is just degraded, and he's in a very low place in his life. And I was thinking about this last week, even driving home. I was thinking about what a depressing message that was, or is, to think about Samson and all of these things. And I wish that I had went at least one more verse. Verse number 22, the Bible says this. It says, "Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven." You see, there's no hope, there's no redemption, there's nothing positive, there's nothing praiseworthy in verses 4 down through verse number 21. But verse number 22, where it says, "Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again," that verse, it reminds me of Romans chapter 5, verse number 20. The Bible says over there, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." And the fact that his hair began to grow again, it looks like, if we just stopped at verse number 21, it looks like he's forgotten. It looks like he's forsaken. It looks like he's all washed up. He's done for. But we're going to see as we study on down that the Lord is going to give him his strength back. The Lord is going to use him at least one more time. And it ought to encourage us tonight. We might think, "I'm forgotten about, I'm forsaken, God can't use me, I'm done, I'm washed up, there's nothing else I can do." But you know, there just might be the possibility that God could use us one more time. Because God used Samson one more time. And it's all sad. I mean, there's no way to get away from that. But God did use him one more time. Now, there's some things I want us to think about tonight. This is a thinking message. And we're thinking back. And we're thinking about what is going on in Samson's life between verse 21 and between verse number 23. And the Bible just says this, "Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven." There's a couple of things that I want to mention tonight to begin with. First of all, the hair of his head began to grow again. This reminds us that time, there had to be some time that he did grind in the prison house. We don't know how much time. I don't believe, I read one pastor, he said probably 6 years. I don't think it was 6 years. But I do know that there had to be some time in order for his hair to begin to grow again. The passing of time. Your hair grows about a half an inch a month. That's about average. Some more, some less, somewhere around there. But there's some time that takes place where Samson is down there grinding in the prison house. We were watching the other night a little comedy show, and I told Kim, I said, "I just love TV." I said, the great thing about it is all problems are solved in 30 minutes or less. You take out for commercials, it's really about 20 minutes. I mean, you can be at the brink of the end of the world, and well, it'll all get better, you know, just like that. Every little sitcom, you know, you watch Andy Griffith or just anything like that, they'll have a problem most of the time, and it's pretty major, dramatic, and then it'll be wrapped up and all forgotten about in 30 minutes. And so, boy, life's not like that, is it? And I think we tend to forget in the Bible many times what we read as a Bible story. We forget that there's time in there. And time takes time. Samson's life is no television show. A lot of times, people in our lives, we think things ought to be fixed like something on TV, but they're not. People think, oh, yeah, I know I messed up, but I said I was sorry. I asked for forgiveness. I said I would never do it again. I can't believe that I won't just be restored, forgiven, put back in the place of favor. Things all right with my wife, my parents, my neighbor, whatever the case might be. Sometimes it just takes time. And we forget about that because we live in that, you know, drive-through generation. We want things right now. But in life, we don't get things right now. A lot of times, time has to take place. Time is a great healer, but time takes patience. And so sometimes we just have to wait. But in Samson's case, his hair did begin to grow again. Number two, I want to point this out tonight. We need to think about this. And I didn't read this in the commentary or anybody else. I'm not saying I'm the first one to ever notice it or think about it or anything like that. But I believe from studying this passage of Scripture, I believe that Samson is on death row. Now, if you look in verse number 23, look what the Bible says. The Bible says, then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. I believe, and I wouldn't argue with anybody, but I believe that the great sacrifice that was going to be made, I believe that was Samson. I believe they were getting ready to get together to offer Samson as a sacrifice unto their God. That is the reason for them getting together. And that is the way the pagan, the heathen religions, I mean, it was nothing to them to offer a human sacrifice. What greater sacrifice to offer than the great Samson? They are there. They are rejoicing, for they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And what are they going to do with Samson anyway? Well, they've spent some time. They're going to just mock him. They're making fun of him. They are torturing him. And it doesn't matter to them one way or the other. Why not cap it all off by killing him, by putting him to death? They wouldn't have cared if Samson died. They weren't trying to preserve his life or anything. They are, like a lot of times the pagans would do, they would torture and drag that thing out and finally kill their victim. I believe that Samson was supposed to be. And that's why one reason why I believe that it wasn't a sin that he prayed, because what he actually prayed and did there, he took his own life. We're certainly not for people taking their own life, but he was going to die anyway. I believe they were going to kill him. And so when he prayed and said, God, let me... And we're not going to get there tonight. But I believe he knew his days was numbered. I believe that he was going to be their sacrifice. The sacrifice unto Dagon. And so time, there is a period of time that has to take place in verse number 22. For the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. And I want to try to preach on the subject tonight, or think about the subject tonight, reflections from death row. You see, Samson knows that he's going to die. He knows he's never going to receive his sight again. He knows he's not going to be a judge again. He knows he's a dead man down there. And so don't you know that Samson would reflect on and think about his life? But what we think about and what we notice tonight is that God is good even in giving this terrible time. Now, if they would have just took him and killed him, Samson would have had no time to reflect. He'd have had no time to repent. He'd have had no time to get right with God. And I believe he does get right with the Lord. But it takes some time. So even in his torture and loss of freedom and being made a spectacle of by the Philistines, God was gracious to give him that time. And so what would he have done during that time? People on death row tend to be more
reflective than your normal prison population. In fact, if you talk to somebody like one of our Rock of Ages missionaries or somebody that goes into the jails and talks to people that are on death row, you'll find a lot of times they'll be saved people on death row. Now, they probably got saved after they got there. A lot of people get saved in prison. You think about, well, they have to hit bottom. Well, there's not much more bottom than that, if you ask me. I mean, I've been to witness and preach in the prisons. And they talk about, you know, they're nice and air-conditioned and they get 3 meals a day and all like that. But I'll tell you, I wouldn't want to spend the night there. I don't want to be in prison. That to me would be, if that don't get you to the bottom, your bottom's a lot farther than mine is. But a lot of people in dire situations, they begin to think about their life, what got them there. They get serious about things, and a lot of people get saved in prison. A lot of people get saved and get right with the Lord, even on death row. It gives them time to reflect. Well, what would he have been able to think about? Number one, we're going to sort of do a little review of Samson's life. But number one, he could have reflected or thought about his purpose. Samson's whole purpose, if you look back in chapter 13 and verse number 5, the announcement of his birth, the Bible said, "For lo," and this is the angel of the Lord said, "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." Samson's whole purpose in life was to be a life unto God, and the purpose was to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. That was Samson's purpose in life. Every little boy and little girl, I don't know how other societies are, but in America, we ask little boys and little girls, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" That's very, very common. I think that is actually healthy that we think about the future. That we think about what we want to be when we grow up, and we've all been there. I remember, you know, I want to be a fireman, I want to be a policeman, I want to be a cowboy, I want to be, you know, all them things. All them things. We think about, you know, what do we want to be? When we grow up and we go through different stages of wanting to be different things. Well, if you think about Samson tonight, Samson always knew what he was supposed to be when he grew up. Before he was born, the Lord said, "This is what Samson's going to be. Samson is going to be a Nazarite unto God, and he will begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." He was specially chosen by the Lord. He had a specific mission from the Lord. His name, Samson, it means like the sun. And so we think, well, that's great for Samson. But you know, if you're here tonight and you're saved by the grace of God, we're not that different from Samson. We also have been chosen by the Lord. We also have a specific mission from the Lord. You say, what am I supposed to do? Well, you look in the Bible, you'll find out what we're supposed to do. I preach Sunday morning what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be the light of the world. That's what the Bible says. We're supposed to be salt. We're supposed to be light. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life." That's our purpose. That's why God saved us. That's what God called us. That's what God has commissioned us to do. So it's good to have a purpose. Do you know how many people are going through this life and they are so unfulfilled and they are so dissatisfied, and they say, "What's the purpose? What's the use? Why are we here?" Well, that is pretty depressing if you don't have an answer to that. But we have an answer to that. We have a purpose. Now, you might have, you know, God calls somebody to preach. God calls somebody else to do something else. I don't know specifically, but I know generally that we're all to have a hand in, just like Samson, being a witness for the Lord, having a right relationship with Him, holding forth the word of life. God has called us. God has given us a purpose. Now, I don't want to reflect on that from the place of death.
That's where Samson was.
What can he do about it now? All he's doing is thinking back what could have been, what used to be. Purpose, purpose. We don't want to get to that low, low place like Samson was, but no doubt Samson thought about his purpose. Number two, Samson would reflect upon his past. Now, there's been many faults and failures along the way. And wouldn't we all say amen to that tonight? We reflect back on our past. Yes, faults, failures. There's a lot not to be proud of in Samson's life. But everybody's like that. I would say that in Samson's life, if you could go down there, you know, we're the news media. We're going to go talk to Samson. Samson, anything you'd like to do over? Oh, yeah. Are you like that? I told Kim the other day, we was talking about the past and things. And I said, you know, there's not a lot of things in life I regret, but there's one or two things I'd like to have a do-over on. Wouldn't you like to have some do-overs? No use to reflect on that very much because you don't get many do-overs. But I'd say Samson, if he could, he'd take some do-overs. Everything in Samson's life was not bad. We've talked a lot about the negative things in Samson's life, but there are some good highlights in Samson's life. Chapter 13, verse number 24. The Bible said, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. He could reflect on how the Lord had blessed him, and the Lord had surely blessed him. The Lord had blessed him in many, many ways. The Lord had protected him in many situations that, frankly, he should not have been in. Yeah, he killed the lion, but he shouldn't have been where he was, when he was, and what he was going to do when it happened. But the Lord spared him and gave him strength to kill the lion, to escape from Gaza in chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, when he carried the gates away. Well, my goodness, he had been in there with a harlot. But the Lord had blessed him in spite of that. And the Lord had blessed him in many other ways. If Samson thought back even further than that, Samson could have said, you know, I have a good godly mom and daddy. We know that from studying about Samson. Samson could have said, you know, the Lord has blessed me in the fact that I know the true and living God. He's not worshiping Dagon. He's worshiping the true God, the living God, the Creator. He had the truth of God's Word. There's a lot of ways that we could say that the Lord had blessed Samson. And it doesn't say that about any of the other judges, but it says about Samson, and the Lord blessed him. And verse 25, the Bible said, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. And so Samson had time to remember how the Lord had blessed him and moved him at times. The Spirit of the Lord had moved upon him in different times. And little looked over. We don't notice very much, but two times here in the Bible, it tells us that Samson judged Israel 20 years. And so there had to be good times. Times where the Lord blessed him. Times where the Lord moved him, gave him wisdom. And times where he did the right thing. If there were not times like that, Samson would not be mentioned in Hebrews chapter number 11. But right over there, Samson is in Hebrews chapter 11. The Hall of Fame of Faith. And so Samson could remember his past. Samson would also have time to reflect upon his pitfall. And we already know what Samson's pitfall was. We'll not go over that again, but it was women. And it was relationships with women that he shouldn't have been involved in. In chapter 14, he saw a woman. In chapter 16, he went in unto a woman. And in chapter 16, verse number 4, he loved a woman. That was Delilah. She was bad for him. We preached on that as a bad relationship. That's a bad relationship. And so he had some pitfalls in his life. And I'm sure that Samson, with his new look, you know, he's been a Nazarite his whole life, and now he's shaven clean. Don't you think he noticed that every time he laid his head down at night, every time he woke up in the morning, every time if you'd had nothing but hair all your life and all of a sudden you didn't have any, you'd know. Every time you passed by a reflection in a pool of water or a mirror or something like that that gave a reflection, there would be that moment of, who is that? Oh, that's me. That's me. Every time Samson missed his hair, Samson would have had time to reflect upon his pitfall. Was it worth it? Was it worth Delilah? Was it worth that harlot? Was it worth that woman when he was young? Just had to have her. Went home to daddy and mama. Go get her for me. She pleases me well. He'd had time to think about that. I had a... And I, you know, preachers don't tell everything they know, but I was talking with somebody a while back. And it's a situation not real dissimilar. And I told him, I said, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. There's a lot of things in this life that we think we have to have, but when you get on the other side, it's just not worth it. And that time to reflect on them pitfalls. Man, I wish I hadn't have done that. If Samson would have pointed the finger at the Philistines, he'd have found out there was three pointing back at him. And you know, a lot of times in our lives, we're pointing the finger at the wrong one. Who are we going to blame? We love to blame people for our problems, for our falls, faults and failures and addictions and everything else. We love to blame. We live in a society, we want to find somebody to hang the blame on. But until we look in the mirror and find the one that's really to blame, we're not going to really get any help from the Lord. People who are always blaming other people for their problems will never get victory over those problems. We got to come to the cold, hard fact of where the real problem lies. And most of the time, it's like that song the children sing. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. David knew what the problem was. He finally came to the realization of what the problem was. Psalms chapter 51 is his psalm of repentance over his sin with Bathsheba. And I noticed years ago that when David was really, really got down to business with the Lord over there, he said in verse number 3, "For I acknowledge my transgressions." People don't get there, they're not going to get any victory over their sin. But David said, "I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned." See, David knew that who the problem was. It wasn't Bathsheba's fault. Oh, I've heard a preacher say one time that it was Bathsheba's fault. She shouldn't have been out there bathing on the rooftop. She should have known that David would see her. Maybe she did. But who's to blame for that? David. David's the one that sent for her. Maybe they had noticed each other. They were neighbors. I don't know. But it was his fault on his part and her fault on her part. But it was more his fault because he was the king and he was the one that knew the Lord. We know that. He should have known better. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, See, a lot of times people are real willing to confess other people's sins. Oh, they done this and they done that and that's why this. But the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. His pitfall was women, but the fault was His own. It was His fault. He was in that shape. That's hard for us to take sometimes. Whose fault is it? Well, it's Samson's fault. And so he had time to reflect on that. But one last thing tonight, and we're ending on a upbeat note, even though it's still a sad situation. But while Samson was there, I also believe this, Samson could reflect on his potential. In verse number 22, the Bible said, "Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven." So time passes by, and he's blind, and he's working in the prison house. But one day his head is itching, and he reaches up, and he says, "Wow, my hair's beginning to grow." This is a good point to preach this message because I just had a haircut last week. And it don't take long. Hey, it's starting. I can feel it there. And time goes on, and one day he's out there working and grinding, and he thinks a fly is on his neck or on his ear, and he reaches up there and he says, "Oh, it's not a mosquito, that's my hair." He's had time to reflect on these things. We're going to see that he calls out to the Lord at least one more time. But don't you think he probably called out to the Lord more than that time? This is the time we read about. But Samson has time to reflect on his potential. And maybe during this time, Samson comes to realization, you know, yes, I'm in a bad place, but surely somehow, some way, God could use me one more time. I believe Samson was looking for an opportunity on that day. You'd be amazed if you'd just look for an opportunity, even though you feel like sometimes that God can't use you. If you'd look for an opportunity, you might find out He'd give you some pillars to lean on. I believe Samson realized his opportunity, even though he was blind and couldn't see what was going on. Boy, if God would just give me strength one more time. If God could just use me one more time. You'd be amazed. I read something this morning, and it sounds sort of silly, but I thought it had a pretty good point to it. It said that broken crayons still color, still get some use out of them. I don't know why the first thing youngins want to do is break a crayon. That always drove me crazy. I want one to break on my own. Samson realized he'll never judge again. He'll never be free again. But surely that God can and God will use him again. And the Lord does use him one more time. And we will find that he's used greater in his death than he was in all the days of his life. As far as his purpose was to begin to deliver Israel from the Philistines. And so the whole matter of Samson's life has to do with this oppression of the Philistines. And God is going to use him one more time. In closing tonight, the lesson is sin. Sin sets us back. Sin sometimes takes us out of a place of service that we were one time in. Samson's not going to be a judge again. Some preachers feel like they can do anything under the sun and just continue on. Uh-uh. You can sin to the place where you are taken out of a position of ministry. But that doesn't mean that that person will never, ever be used by the Lord in some way again. God did use Samson again. It just might be on a different plane, but sin sets us back in our lives. But the hope of verse number 22, what 22 shows us is that even in a bad, what oftentimes looks like a hopeless situation, that there is a possibility that God could use us again. That God will use people again. God is expert at using broken things. He is able to do that. Howbeit, that is a great, great verse. If that wasn't there, this would all just be so sad and depressing that it'd just be hard to go through it. But the hair of his head began to grow again. And if you study over there about the Nazarite vow, and I'm closing with this, the Nazarite vow, if the Nazarite, if he defiled himself, he was no longer a Nazarite. But he could go make a sacrifice and start over again. And so we find that Samson, even in this terrible situation, is starting over again. The hair of his head began to grow. And so there's hope. There is grace where sin did abound. And there's a lot of sin in his life. But we'll see that although it ends tragically, it does end in a, what we might say, a victory. And so we'll close there with that tonight. I appreciate your good attention. I hope you got something out of it. I really do. I appreciate folks that come out on Wednesday nights. And we try to have something to feed you with. And so we desire your prayers as we try to preach on Wednesday just as much as when we try to preach on Sunday. So I appreciate you coming out.